Welcome to the Fayetteville Fire Podcast, your source for all the safety, fire, and sometimes random information you never knew you wanted. I'm Captain Steve Shakeshaft, your host for the podcast, and I got the best job ever. Let's talk about it. How's it going, LT?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Man, glad to have you. So I wanted to touch base with you a little bit, talk about topic this month. But before we even get there, let's talk about Bill. I've known you, what, going on 10 years now, probably?
Yeah, it's been a while.
How long you been with Fayetteville?
So today is actually a big day.
Watch out.
The 13th anniversary of my hire date.
So
yeah, June 25th, 2012 was when I was hired.
But not your adjusted hire date.
No, I lost about 10 months, so I don't know that date, but 13 years in the fire service professionally.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Cool. So what were you doing before you came to the fire service?
I was actually in college. I came right from college.
So, what'd you go to college for?
I wanted to be a lawyer at first, and then I realized that I wanted to actually do something that involved being outside with people. Didn't want to be in an office all day long.
Probably a good call.
Yeah. No regrets. So I started volunteering at a fire department when I was in college and kind of fell in love with the fire service and thankfully was able to get hired here in 2012, and the rest is history, I guess.
Did you finish college?
Yes.
What'd you get a degree in?
History.
History.
Yeah.
You definitely strike me as a history dude.
Ah, I appreciate that.
You came in, you said you were volunteering before you came here?
Yeah, but not much experience. Yeah. Just getting started, basically.
Okay. Where did you start off your career at? Like, go through Fire Academy? Where did they put you at when you first came out?
So my first station was Station 6 on A Shift with Captain Alan Jones. We had a good crew there. Had him, Paul Gallagher, the one and only, was my lieutenant. And then Abner Ney, and my mentor firefighter was actually Josh Hagen, who is now battalion chief.
Okay.
So it was a good time.
It's cool to watch when you get to a point in your career where now people you got hired with or came up with are your boss or you're their boss. And it's so weird because it's hard calling Hagen chief, right?
Yeah.
I can do it on a fire scene. That's super easy.
Yeah, you see the white shirt, he's a chief.
It's easy.
Yeah.
But I would never call Chief Dove Kevin in private, right? Because we didn't come up together. But it's weird with Hagen. It's still getting used to that. Yeah. So you're working for us. How long did you work for us the first time?
I left in 2020. So I was here for a little over 8 years before I left.
And the reason I wanted to have you on today is one of the things that we're looking at our hiring process coming up. We've got an academy in place right now, another academy coming soon. Then we'll be running the hiring process. Is everybody is always saying the grass ain't greener. People have different reasons for why they wind up leaving the city of Fayetteville. But we always tell them, you're going to be back. Your situation was a little unique because you weren't leaving, to my understanding. What did take you out that made you have to leave?
I like to joke about it a little bit. So the unofficial story is that I wanted a new raincoat. I had an old yellow raincoat, and I saw these recruits coming in with these fancy, like, yellow and black raincoats. And I was like, I want one of those. I requested one, a new one, and received a new old raincoat. So I left and came back and was given a black and yellow raincoat. But no, the real reason I left was because my wife took a job in Raleigh. We had to move up to Raleigh to be close to her employer. I was commuting for about a year, and just I couldn't see myself doing that rush hour slog for, 20 more years. I tried. Some people love it. I'm used to a short commute living in Fayetteville before moving. So I tried, but I wanted to be closer to where I lived.
I gotcha. So it was like I said, a lot of people they're looking at other career opportunities. I never fault anybody for trying to better their family or whatever, but yours was just a personal for your family move.
Yeah, I did not want to leave.
Yeah.
I was very sad leaving.
So let's kind of talk about that a little bit. Why? I always say I use the phrase I got the best job ever. Say it in my opening, my hashtags on Facebook are best jobs ever. What made you love here? Doing the job here so much?
I think that's the key thing is doing the job here. No matter where you go, you'll do your job as a firefighter, as an EMT. But in Fayetteville, you get to do it very often, very frequently. Yeah. Being new to the fire service when I came here, I got exposed to the fire service quickly and often and just really enjoyed it. So I'd say that, one of the big factors is that you get to be a firefighter here. You get to be an EMT. You get to be a rescue tech or a hazmat tech. Yeah. you get to do all that stuff. But secondly, the people. I've never felt like a number here. I've always felt like a person who's part of a family. And it's just hard to replicate that in many places. People do leave and come back, and that's the most common thing I've heard is that they feel like a family here. They don't feel like an employee.
Yeah, it's hard to explain to people who work Monday through Friday jobs, and then we're hiring with no experience. So the folks coming into the academy haven't been exposed to it either. And before they can really get settled and develop those family bonds, they might already be looking at a job somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's really about communicating that message. And that's why I wanted to have you, you on here. So you said you went to Jones's crew.
Mm-hmm. Six.
How many different assignments did you have in that first stint?
So I was at six for about 8 months, being the low man on the totem pole. I got moved to station 19 for about 4 months with Captain Rothroffy. We had a good time there, but being new, I wanted to be busier.
Busier house, yeah.
And they told me when I moved, they said, listen, this is temporary. We'll get you someplace, faster once we can find a spot for you. So after about 4 to 5 months, they called and I got moved to station 9 with Captain Pierpoint. Had a great time there. I was there for 4 years.
There you go.
In the old Squad 9 days, you know how it was. You were there on Sea Shift.
Yeah.
So had a blast there. Then after that, went to Station 3. I had Captain Rothroffy again, and then Captain Bowen, and then Captain Hill at 3 before.
Rotating through all the supervisors.
Yeah. Some great people. Yeah. And that's when I left to go sort of the Raleigh area.
Yeah, it takes time to develop those. I'm glad you brought up 9 because everyone always asks me, like, what's your favorite assignment, mm-hmm. And my kickback to that is, well, what are we talking about? Are we talking about the calls that we ran? Are we talking about the building itself? Like, mm-hmm. When I was at 6, we had I've never had such a tight-knit crew. Mm-hmm. Like, we were together on our days off all the time. I went to 14, and I loved everybody there. They were absolutely awesome. But we were at different phases of life. They all had kids. They mm-hmm. had families. They weren't going out, at 9 o'clock at night on a Friday. They were at home with their kids.
Right.
So yeah. it was a different atmosphere. But then when I got to nine, I love history.
Yeah.
I absolutely love history. And when you walk into Station 9, you are walking into what you picture a firehouse
absolutely.
Feeling like.
Absolutely. And that was the pre-renovation days with the old kitchen. It looks great now, even better. But yeah, that was an old school firehouse.
Yeah, and I know it's coming up for replacement, and I know it's needed because you can only maintain old so long. But I'm gonna miss the memories. I hope that we take some of those memories out of there into the new nine whenever they
it'll be a bittersweet day.
That.
Bittersweet
yeah.
day.
Yeah, for sure. So. But yeah, like you said, the family aspect, when you got to, again, we're not going to throw names out there of, when you went on and tried something different, but did you feel that was the culture there? You just had a hard time fitting in? Like, was the culture similar and it wasn't for you, or was it a completely different culture?
I will say when I left, I was looking for the most Fayetteville of places to go to, if that makes any sense.
I'm going to use that line in the future. Find the most Fayetteville place you could find.
Yeah.
And it still won't be home.
Yeah. And I wanted, I wanted the high call volume, the fire load, all those good things. And without naming names, I went to the most Fayetteville place I could find up there. And I have nothing bad to say about my experience. Everyone was great. I had a great time. I was welcomed. It's kind of funny as a lateral coming to another department like that, and they're like, "You're from Fayetteville. You're not a lateral. You're not a rookie. You know what you're doing."
Yeah.
They said Fayetteville burns. You know what you're doing. So that respect that people have for Fayetteville across the state really kind of makes you feel good about working working in Fayetteville.
That's awesome to hear.
Yeah. There was another guy in my group that came from a small department. He was leaving. To take a pay cut to go fight more fire, and they called him probie, and they called me firefighter because he's from Fayetteville. He's not a probie.
There you go.
But it was just there was a few factors that kind of caused me to leave that job to come back here. It was 2020. COVID happened, and my wife's job went remote, so she was no longer tied to the office. also the cost of living there is insane.
Yeah.
It was so expensive. I was working three jobs just to pay the rent for our apartment.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to leave Fayetteville in the first place. So when her job went remote, we had the chance to come back, and I jumped on it because I loved Fayetteville. I have nothing bad to say about where I came from up there. It was great, but this is home for me.
Cool. So what'd that process look like? Was it fairly simple coming through that reinstatement process? Now, you got reinstated, not rehired, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I came back, got my new raincoat. It was all good. it was pretty simple. I had to apply online. And I believe they go back and they talk to your previous two or three captains or battalion chiefs. Make sure that, you know, you're a good fit to come back. And after that, it was just going to the academy until I could get uniforms and turnout gear.
Yeah.
You're right back where you were.
Right back to work like you never left.
Your same career step, you know, same everything. So
yeah,
very, very straightforward.
And you weren't, how long were you actually gone for?
Maybe 10, 11 months.
10,
not
11
very
months.
Long.
Yeah, because you have, I think it's 3 years to be reinstated. But just coming up on that, on the hiring process, it's good to get perspectives from people who have gone elsewhere, came back.
Mm-hmm.
So again, another unique thing for somebody who's able to be reinstated is when you come back, you kept all that credit. Mm-hmm. We do something similar for lateral hires. So if we hire a lateral hire, you can come in, depending on the circumstances, with up to 4 years of credit.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant you were able to go ahead, even coming back and promote. What year did you make lieutenant?
I made it in 20, it's 25 now, so 23, 22, at the end of 22. So I've been a lieutenant for 2.5 years, now going on 3 years. And actually, you mentioned the laterals, being able to do that. Ben Williams, he's a lieutenant at 6, and he came from another department as a lateral,
mm-hmm.
and he's a lieutenant now, and he's, you know, he's having a great time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was an awesome acquisition. I can say that much. He was definitely cool to get. So, since when you came back, where did you wind up going to?
I went to Station 8 initially to be a driver. So I was there for about almost a year, and then a spot opened up at 3 on A shift, my old crew. So I was able to go back there, back to Captain Hill and the squad house. I really enjoyed being on the squads when I was a firefighter.
Yeah, you're a paramedic, ain't you?
Yeah, I'm weird. I enjoy the EMS stuff.
Yeah, you can keep that paramedic stuff. I enjoy being an EMT, don't get me wrong. Uh-huh. I have no desire to take that next step level. It's just not my thing.
Well, that's the thing is, like, there's enough avenues to pursue here. Anyone can find their interest and just run with it. I'm not a big hazmat guy, but hazmat, you know, people love hazmat. They get to go do all kinds of cool things. Rescue tech, USAR, EMS, CRR. So that's one of the things that makes this place special, I think, is that you can go anywhere with your career.
Yeah. What did you wind up doing for your specialty?
Rescue.
You did rescue?
Yeah.
Yeah. But never wanted to go to the rescue company, just, you know, went ahead and knocked it out?
I did want to go, but it's kind of like a double-edged sword. If you're someplace that you're really happy, even though you may want to, you know, advance to a specialty, it's hard to leave a good environment.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of how I felt. I didn't want to leave anywhere I was.
Yeah.
So I just stayed gem pop, you know, gem pop for life.
I hear you. So how's lieutenant life treating you? You've been a lieutenant for 2 years
and a half
at this point.
It's
how's
good.
That treating you?
I went to Station 4 on B shift initially. I just got moved to 8 last month. So it's good. I really enjoy it. I do miss, you know, the squad life. And the hardest adjustment has been being more hands-off because I like doing things on the calls. I like, you know, doing the patient care or, you know, give me the nozzle on a fire. So having to learn to trust your people and watch their backs as opposed to being the one to do everything, that's been a big adjustment. But it's been great.
Yeah, it's when you step into that role, we've done a great job as an organization of the people that we are promoting are the working captains and the working lieutenants. But it's also a detriment because if you, like you said, it's not even just about trusting your people, it's developing them.
Yeah.
And if you're not letting that rookie have the nozzle, you're not developing. And that's part of your job as a supervisor is developing that person. So the best part, well, let me ask you this, best part about being a lieutenant.
Oh gosh. So, you get that taste of being a captain or a company officer without all the responsibilities of being a company officer. Mm-hmm. You get to make decisions on you know, fires, on incidents. But if things really, you know, if things break, you go, hey, Captain, this happened, you know. And he's, you know, he's doing the evaluations. He's doing all the harder paperwork stuff, and you're kind of like, you're in that sweet spot. You're having fun.
And that's exactly what I always say is the best part about being, I loved being a lieutenant by far. It was my favorite position on the department, was you get to do every single job. If the captain's out, you get to step up and fill that captain role. But also, if you have young people developing, you get to step in to the back of the truck and let that person spend 12 hours crewing the engine or
yeah.
whatever, or driving the engine, whatever the case may be. So you literally, it's the one position on the fire department where you can do every single job in the station at any given moment. Master firefighter is that way to an extent,
mm-hmm.
to a level. A master firefighter can crew for a little while, but a lieutenant can really do everything. That's why I loved it so dang much.
And that's kind of, I've heard in the past from different officers, you know, having a good crew makes your job easy. Having good guys mm-hmm. makes your job easy. I just figured they were trying to be nice. But now I understand that because I've had great, great firefighters, and they do make your life easy. You know, if they're motivated, they're easy to train. And you can just have that good experience, have that fun just mentoring them, bringing them up, and watching them grow.
You had some not so fun firefighters too? Don't lie, it's okay.
I came up with on Squad 9 with Michael Alf. He's my, you know, my squad partner, and so that's the bar I set for my firefighters.
It's a pretty high bar. It's a high bar. Yeah.
So
yeah.
No one's gonna be able to, you know, beat that bar, top that bar.
All right.
Everyone's been pretty good.
I hope he listens to this and gets a little pat on the back.
I told him I was going to put his name in here at some point. He said, you better not. So
gotcha.
Gotcha, Al.
Yeah. So like I said, reinstatement, coming back, you've made lieutenant. Now you just went through the captain's process.
Yes.
How did that look? Obviously you're still lieutenant for now.
Yeah.
But how the process?
Maybe for a while.
How'd the process look?
It was my first time doing it. It was great. I learned so much preparing for it, studying for it. And I felt like no matter what happened with the process, I was going to be a better lieutenant for doing the process. It was tough. It was challenging. They had a bunch of good guys this year. And I'm kind of like down the list about halfway. So we'll see what happens.
I mean, you made the list. That's an accomplishment. You make that list. That's, you know, that's an accomplishment. How many lieutenants do we have? 60-some?
A lot.
Something or other. And there's at most 20 of you on that list. So if you made the list, it's an accomplishment to be proud of.
It was a good experience. It was scary. You know, I was sweating bullets, you know, the entire time.
Yeah.
But it's good to prepare you.
The first time I went through the lieutenant's process, you have everybody say, I don't care if I get it or not. Mm-hmm. I don't care if I get it or not. And you know they're lying. You know they care.
you wouldn't be here otherwise.
Yeah, they care. But really when it hit me was when it was all said and done. And they don't publish the list, but you kind of figure out where you're sitting.
You got the group text going on.
And all of a sudden I realized, holy cow, I'm about to promote. And it got real.
Uh-huh.
At that moment, it got real. And that's when the nerves didn't kick in through the process. The nerves mm-hmm. kicked in when it's about to happen. Holy cow.
Yeah.
And then when I got through up to the captain's process, I really wanted it that entire time. So that put a little more pressure on me going through the process because I truly wanted it, and I came out okay.
I would say so. I'd say you came out pretty well. Pretty well. No, there definitely is a weight when you're testing for promotion. So I noticed that when I was testing for lieutenant, Captain Hill let me crew Engine 3 a few times while I was getting ready for it.
Yeah.
And you would feel that weight on your shoulders once you get in that seat. And obviously, with more experience, it starts to become lighter and lighter.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a little scary thinking about it. Like, hey, this could happen. This could be, you know, I could be in charge of all these people, all, you know, their safety, well-being.
Yeah.
Shortly, and that's a lot of responsibility.
I heard it described in a documentary one time. If you compare it to a weightlifter lifting 200 pounds, you train. You work out, you do repetitions, and eventually it becomes easier to lift the 200 pounds, but it's still 200 freaking pounds.
That makes sense.
It doesn't change.
I like that.
So that weight is still there. You just mm-hmm. learning to
You get stronger.
You get stronger at handling it. The weight doesn't change. And that's something that we really, I hope when people are, if people are ever thinking about, I'm going to go try something different, I'm going to leave Fayetteville, I'm not going to throw stones at you. But I want you to think about is what we are doing to develop our people for leadership and the processes that we have. I mean, how many classes did you have to take and trainings did you have to go through and hours spent with Captain Hill crewing get you to that point?
Yeah.
You may find that somewhere else, but you're going to be hard-pressed to find the level of what we do, I think. I mean,
our SOS and ODP, because I was in that group before they combined it into one class, it was a lot, and there was a lot that went into it. Like, it wasn't the most exciting of times, especially doing, like, things like FMLA or just, you know, the nitty-gritty, you know, of HR stuff. But it was so informative, and, I felt prepared at that point for moving up at least to where I'm at now.
Yeah. So we're looking, you know, right now we went from the model you went through to the officer candidate series, and these folks are taking 30 days or so off of their side job away from their families, just this intensive training sessions. And I think we're looking right now at potentially, you know, looking at ways to improve it even more than it already is. So yeah, just keep in the back of your brain, you know, what you've got here, and it's a pretty awesome spot to be in, especially for opportunities. I mean, you weren't back long when you tested. The opportunities were everywhere,
and not just
right?
that, but like even like committees, like you can really have a role in shaping this department's future as a firefighter even. So in 2020, I was one of the members of the EMS committee that just got started, and I left. Shortly after we got started, I came back, rejoined the committee, and on that committee, we were able to really make a bunch of strides with our EMS program and advance what we can do on the streets every day. And that was as a firefighter.
So it's your fault I had to go to all that con, is what you're saying.
it's all of our faults.
No, I'm just kidding.
But just knowing that people, like the admin, they want to know ways to improve our service delivery. They want your ideas, and they will listen to you. The apparatus committee, there's more committees than that, but some of them I'm not really interested in, but you know, you have a voice here. That's a big thing.
I told Chief Willett when I first became the recruiter, I said, look, boss, I've got 20 big ideas. If you let me try 5 of them, I'll be happy. And if you walk into a committee with that mindset that not everything you say is going to be taken and run with, but you know they're taking what you say seriously and considering it, man, it's awesome to see those changes. I mean, our apparatus committee, they dictate what those trucks look like, and they need your input. They need to hear from you if we're doing things that ain't working. My recruitment committee, I've actually had Chief Willett had made a couple comments that, you know, we don't meet often enough, and I'm like, we don't meet often because we're always talking. We're always on the phone talking, seeing new things on the internet, whatever, and bringing that to the table, you know. So it's cool. It's a good thing to be a part of.
And look at, like, you know, the new crisis or therapy dogs. You know, that's a new thing for us, and we're going with that. We've had people that are in that program that have a dog assigned to them now, you know, more in the pipeline.
Yeah, so this month we're getting that pup finally.
You can do what you want to do.
All right. So before we wrap up, anything else you got for anybody either considering a career in the fire service or considering a career in Fayetteville? Because that's really my focus, right, is bringing people to Fayetteville, but get them in the fire service, period. Any Bill words of wisdom?
It's a really enjoyable job. I don't even want to call it a job because it doesn't feel like work. You're coming to hang out with your friends. I mean, there are some harder months. Everyone knows hose testing is not very fun, or hydrants. Yep. But it's really a privilege to be able to do this and know that the people here, they trust you with their safety, with their lives. And that's a huge, to me, compliment. It's a huge honor to be given that trust. This is a good place to work. You get to do your job here. You get to be a firefighter, you get to be an EMT, a rescue tech, and you get to do what you want to do.
Cool.
I have no regrets. I really enjoy coming to work every day here, and I think most people feel the same way. So there's no perfect place in any kind of industry. There's no perfect job, but this is a really, really good place to be and to work. That's why I'm still here.
All right, man. Well, like I say, I wake up every morning and I want to go to work, and not many people can say that. Very
Absolutely.
Few people can say I enjoy going to work every day. So, well, Bill, thanks for, first of all, coming back to Fayetteville. We're glad to have you back. And secondly, thank you for joining me today, taking some time on your day off with me. And thank you for joining us on the Fayetteville Fire Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to Radio Fayetteville on all your favorite streaming platforms to listen to all of our podcasts. Join us again next month, but until then, stay safe, Fayetteville.